God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to start out today with you from some scripture, Bible verses to read. Begin in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's Enoch. Then we go a few verses later to Genesis 6, verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Then if we go a little bit further in the Bible to Malachi chapter 2, God is talking about Levi. And he says, my covenant with him was a covenant of life and peace. And I gave them to him that he might fear, and he feared me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. Today, I'd like to talk with you about walking with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Levi walked with God. And ultimately, what does God want from you? What would please him? What is God really after in your life? It says in Micah chapter 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk with your God. That's what I'd like to talk about with you today. And to not only walk with God, but also to enjoy it. To know what it means, as Paul says, to rejoice in the Lord always. God has a lot to teach us today about a biblical understanding of what it means to walk with Him day by day, in each moment, in each present moment. And so let's learn about what it means to walk with God and what God really wants with you and your life and how we can maybe remove some of those obstacles that to joy in your walk that might be there. Well, I think there's no better place to start than in our gospel lesson for today from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus has just here talked about consider the ravens, consider the lilies of the field, God takes care of them. And then he says this, verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. I want you to hear that again. Listen to this. This is God, Jesus speaking to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Jesus is telling us here about walking with God, and what is His will for us? His will is that you don't live your life with Him anxious and worried and troubled about tomorrow, but that you live each day, each present hour, walking with Him by faith. What does it mean to walk with God by faith? Well, it means to believe in Him. It means to trust in His Word, to follow Him by keeping His commands. It means to trust in His promises in Christ. But also, it means to know His presence with you in the present moment and to rely on it. Do you do that? You know, a lot of us have our joy sucked from us, sapped from us, drained from us because we have anxieties and fears and forebodings about tomorrow. And Jesus is saying, this isn't God's will for you. God's will is that you live each day, day by day, each moment with me, trusting in me, walking by faith. Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And Hebrews 11, how did Moses ever have the gumption and the courage to stand up to Pharaoh? It says in Hebrews 11, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you walk this way? Are you going through your life each day as if seeing a person who you can't see, but he's there and you can see him every day, each step of your way in the present hour that he's with you? God's always taught this. He doesn't want your mind flying into the future or flying into the past. He wants you now. That's the only time you can really rejoice in him anyway, right? Can anybody here rejoice in him in the future at this moment? No, you're not there yet. Can you rejoice in him in the past? Well, you might have rejoiced in him in the past, but you've already been there. You're not there. This is the only hour, the only moment, the only second you can right now be rejoicing in the Lord, and that's what God wants from you in your life. Each step of the way, rejoicing in that present moment with him. And he teaches us gently to do this. He's been doing that all the way through the Bible. Actually, with his people in the Old Testament days. We read in the Old Testament lesson, Exodus 16, about the manna, how God fed them, right? And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said, "What is it? Hey, what is it? Oy, heavy." But they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It's the bread the Lord's given you to eat. This is what the Lord commanded. Gather of it, every man of you, as much as he can eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of the persons whom each of you has in his tent." The people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. And Moses said, "Let no man leave any of it till the morning." But they didn't listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Think about that, would you? All right? God's feeding his people, going through the wilderness, and he only gives them enough bread to get through that day. What is God trying to teach us here? Duh, right? He's trying to say, you need to rely on me every day. I want you walking in the present moment. You're not to be anxious for tomorrow's bread. I'm going to take care of tomorrow's bread. But they didn't listen. They weren't faithful. They didn't believe that. And we struggle with that too. Some of them hid some of it. I'll save it up for tomorrow. God says, no, I want you to trust in me. I want you to live today with me. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Today's the day you're walking with me. And so he taught them this by the manna. And guess what? Our Lord Jesus Christ has said something very similar to us, which we say every day, right? Give us this day our daily bread. God still wants you to live this way. This is his will for you, that he is the message he wants you to have today, is that he wants you to walk with him today in the present moment and not let your mind be flying in all kinds of different directions, but let it be now with me rejoicing, he says. So that's the Lord's will. That's the Lord's word for us. But you know what? There are a number of ways that we can have our walk with the Lord robbed of its joy. A number of ways we can stumble. Causes for stumbling. What might they be? Well, for one, we might live in the past. Other people might be living in the future. Even though they're living in the present, they're living in these two other places, and they don't enjoy their walk with the Lord. Let me explain those to you a little bit. Take, for example, people who live in their past. Do you know people like this? Does this describe you? Maybe. Here's two ways you could do that. Some people might say, I long for the good old days, when things were better then, and they're so sorrowful now. They're living in the past, right? But what do we read here? I love what Martin Luther says about this one. Listen to this. When people are ungrateful to us, we often start complaining. Things are worse now than they ever were. But we shouldn't talk like this. Elderly people tend to say, when I was a child, everything was better. They are the people who praise the days gone by, as one poet calls them. But the author of Ecclesiastes in the Bible says that this isn't true. What's it saying in Ecclesiastes? Let me read it to you. God says, don't ask, why were the things better in the old days than they are now? It isn't from wisdom that leads you to ask this. So guess what? If you're living in 2000 BC, people were still saying, the good old days. Luther says, things never really went that well anyway. We only realize how bad things are now because as we grow older, the number of things that annoy us also increases. Ain't that the truth? All right? So don't live in the past as if it was the good old days, even though you might have had great blessings then. Even if you've got troubles today, if the Lord himself is with you in that present moment, there is cause for rejoicing, I tell you. It's a glorious thing. Another thing people do in living in the past is that they have an old sin or a set of things that they've done wrong that grieves them and haunts them right through to the present hour. Do you know that? Do you know people like that? That are living in the present, but they're really living in the past. And it's haunting them. They're so grieved over it. In fact, we have an example of that in the Bible. David sinned with Bathsheba. One day he was on the roof of his palace and he looks down and he sees a beautiful woman bathing naked. All right, she's gorgeous. She's hot. And he says, I must have her. And then he finds out she's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And he says, I'm still going to take her. And he takes her. He sleeps with her. And then he gets into all kinds of trouble. And she's having a baby. The thing's becoming, is at least known to the Lord. And he conspires to kill her husband and take her for his wife. Talk about something to haunt you. And what does he say of that? How did that make him his present walk with the Lord? What did it do to it? He says, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thy indignation. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, and they weigh like a burden too heavy for me. You know that there are people, in fact, maybe you yourself, that is wrestling with a sin that they have had in the past over which they're ashamed. They're wondering, can I ever have a joyful walk with the Lord? Well, I think we do well to see what happened with David. We read in Psalm 32, he says, when I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. It's right to feel bad about sins. That's good. But guess what? He says, I acknowledged my sin to thee, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then thou didst forgive the iniquity of my sin. In other words, what did Jesus come to do, friends? He came to forgive all of your former sins. David said to Nathan the prophet, I've sinned against the Lord. Nathan the prophet said to David, your sin has been put away from you. Jesus came for you to make it that your life can be freed from the past, to live in the present in joy with him. Through his cross, through his suffering and death, through his shed blood, to cover your entire past. From conception to this very hour and minute, he'll cover the entire thing in his blood and forgive it. And it says in the Bible, as far as the east is from the west, so far do I remove thy transgressions from thee. Jeremiah the prophet in Lamentations said, my spirit is bowed down, but this I call to mind. Therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And David finally said in Psalm 32, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord imputes no iniquity. So if you believe in Jesus Christ today, say, I am freed from my past. And in fact, your past now should be a glorious strength that you draw from it today, because you can say, I recount the good things God's given me. I recount also his kindness in forgiving me. I draw these into a present, and I recount the deeds of the Lord, and I know if he's been faithful to me then, he's going to be faithful to me now too. And so I rejoice in the present moment with my Lord. You're freed from your past. It's covered in the cross of Christ. Free to walk today with him. If I'm walking down the beach with my daughter Naomi, and she's broken, let's say, this didn't happen, but let's say she broke my bike this week because she took it out when she wasn't supposed to, and it's busted, and she repents of it. I say, I forgive you, and I fix the bike. And then we're walking down the beach, and she's still grieved over it. What would I feel like as a father? Huh? If she can't even enjoy a walk down a beach with me because of something she did before, which I forgave, which I even fixed, and she's not going to enjoy walking down the beach with me because she's still in the past, it's not what God wants for you. I'd be sad as a father. God says, I've covered that. Enjoy the day with me. So that's one way we could wreck the present. Another way we could do it is by living in the future. A lot of people live in the future. They don't really live in the present moment. Can't enjoy their walk with God. There's two ways we can mess up here, too. One way that we can mess up is be like the heathen, like the pagans, like unbelievers who boast about tomorrow without acknowledging God. Oh, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. No reference to God. It's going to go great. James talks about this in his letter, James chapter 5. And he says, woe to you. He says, come now, you say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a town and do this and that and trade and get gain. Whereas you don't know about tomorrow. You're just a mist that appears for a little while. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. So I don't suspect anybody here is really messing around with thinking they're going to have a great future without God. So that's not a big one. The big problem I think we have in enjoying our present walk with the Lord is that we live in the future in this way. We dread it. We're anxious about it. We're worried over it. And we continue to ask, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And pretty soon, you're so never living in the present moment, you're living in the future with some dreaded idea about it that you never come to enjoy your present day walk with the Lord, your daily bread, which is really what God wants for your journey, right? Fine, I'm on the beach with Naomi, and again, this doesn't happen, but let's say I, as a father with my daughter, and she's worried over, oh, Dad, I'm worried you'll be able to put bread on the table tomorrow. I'm worried about my shelter. Is she ever going to enjoy this walk with me? Come on, is she going to enjoy that? No. She's going to be living in the future, and I, as a father, would, be saddened to my very core. Because what I want for her to do is say, hey, look, baby, I got that. From the time you were conceived and in a baby and born, I've been taking care of you. I've done it every day, and until now, I'm going to do it every day. From now, forget about that. I've got it. I've got the future. Come on, walk with me. That's what God wants for you. Not to be foreboding and fearing and dreading the future, but daily walking with God. I think of what happened to Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament. Enemies were coming against him in great multitudes. And that says Jehoshaphat feared. But Jehoshaphat went to church. He went into the court of the Lord and assembly of Judah and Jerusalem. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Dost thou not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? O our God, wilt thou not execute judgment upon them? For we're powerless against this great multitude that's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Think about that. He goes to church, he prays, and he sees him who is invisible by his side and rests and relies on that. God's answer says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Jerusalem and Judah. Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And they go out the next day, and what happens? God caused the enemies to fight each other. All they got to do is go collect the spoil. Big day. Oh my goodness, isn't that like the story of our lives? Oh, big dread. Tomorrow is going to be terrible. Oh, this. And we get there, and all we got to do is just go collect the spoil a lot of times. God's taken care of the day, and he's promised to do that with you. God has freed you from your past by the cross of Christ. He covers that in his grace and forgiveness. God has also covered your future in his promises to take care of you, give you victory, go before you, and even in the end, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms, I'm going to take you, come again and take you to that place. When you're afraid, you're thinking your future is uncertain. God is saying, It is definitely certain. I've seen every detail of it already. I've prepared for it, my children. And you're freed from living in the future. And walk with me today. Walk with me. Just rejoice in me today. I'm going to provide. That's why Jesus talks about, look at the birds. They're not doing this. They're not worrying about tomorrow. The lilies of the field aren't worrying about getting clothed. God's taking care of these insignificant creatures compared to you. He's going to take care of you. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, therefore, I tell you. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. And God says this to us in Isaiah 46. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of Israel, who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. Sound like a pretty good promise? Say amen. God has covered your future with promises. God's covered your past with his cross, and God covers your present with his grace. You're surrounded by grace. As a Christian, you can't get away from it. This is freeing you up to walk with God today and to focus. I've been practicing this week because I was going to preach on it. And I'll tell you, as I've just forgotten the past, left it to God, forgotten the future, left it to God, although I do plan, but I mean, I leave it to him. I have so much more enjoyed this week with the Lord. I've rejoiced. I've been more peaceful. I've been more joyful, and your joy also is going to increase because Christ came to set you free. Free to walk with him, free from the past, the future, and everything else, to walk with him right at this very second. It's the only time you can rejoice in him anyway. I may have rejoiced 10 minutes ago, but I'm not there. I may rejoice 10 minutes from now, but I'm not there. I'm here in this time, and I rejoice before him right now in your eyes and in his. So praise be to God for that. Our joy will increase. He says in Isaiah, even when you come to death one day, you're not going to have to go through that alone. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel is your Savior. How are we going to get through the rest of our life? I'm drawing to a close here, so listen up. When I brought my boat from Key Largo to Cape Canaveral, I'd never made that trip before. How could I know the way? Pete and I made the trip with Les. You know how we did it? One buoy at a time, one day at a time, one mile at a time. That's the way God wants you to live your life. You can rejoice in what he's done for you. You can be draw strength from the future and what he's going to do for you, but he wants you to rejoice in your walk with him today, down the beach, father and son, father and daughter, hand in hand, this day, I'm going to take care of the others. Buoy by buoy, day by day, second by second, I'm going to walk with you. This is where you're going to find your joy. Walk with me. For Christianity, my friends, is not a religion. It's a relationship. Enoch walked with God. He died, or he didn't die, he was taken to heaven, but he was never alone when he crossed that Jordan. God was with him. Noah walked with God, Levi walked with God, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. It's called the present, because it's a gift. We should receive it as such and know his presence in it. His grace covering you in the past, going before you, and his grace with you even now, surrounded by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.